Len Tanner stood out in the dog run, staring into the distance.
Rusty, you better come look.
What is it? Oh.
I don't think that light is any eclipse.
It's the right direction to be Shanty's place. They're burning him out.
Good thing we brought him home with us.
Shanty heard the voices and ventured from his sleeping place in the shed. Andy had taken to sleeping there, too. Shanty looked at the glow, then hurried barefoot to Rusty's side.
Oh, Lordy, Mr. Rusty, they're burning down my place.
I'm afraid that's what it looks like.
Andy came up, shoving his shirt tail into his trousers. He wore buckskin moccasins.
If we hurry, maybe we can put the fire out.
No, Andy. By the time we got there, the cabin would be burned to the ground. And who's ever done it, they might be waiting to ambush Shanty or somebody else who rides in there.
We can't just stand here and do nothing.
Best we wait till daylight so we can see what we're getting into.
One thing we can do, the people that done this, they got houses too.
A house for a house?
Seems fair to me.
The law doesn't work that way.
Don't look to me like the law works at all.
Shanty's shoulders slumped. Always thin and spare, he seemed to shrink even smaller.
I ain't never done nothing against nobody.
You're a free man. Nobody owns you. And some folks just can't accept that.
I wish things could go back to what they used to be.
You didn't have freedom then.
Don't seem like I got much freedom now.
Rusty bade Andy and Shanty to stay back while he and Tanner circled around the blackened ruins of the cabin and made certain no one had set up an ambush.
Looks safe to me. They'd done their dirty work, then cleared out.
The chimney stood like a tall tombstone above the charred remnants. By contrast, the shed was only moderately damaged. Though it had been set afire, the flames had flickered out. Chickens pecked in the dirt, oblivious of the carnage about them. The shed had been their roosting place.
Yonder lays Shanty's plow mule.
He gave vent to his anger as he rode up to the dead animal. It had been shot and left to die slowly, but the ground was torn up where it had lain and kicked in agony while its blood drained away.
Any man who would do this ought to be gut shot and left to fight off the buzzards.
They didn't find Shanty. They had to take it out on something.
He shivered, picturing Shanty lying there instead of the mule. On reflection, he figured they would more likely have shot Shanty at the cabin and burned him with it. He signaled for Shanty and Andy to come in. Shanty stopped to study the cabin ruins, then came out and looked down at the dead mule.
Poor old Solomon. Why'd they do that?
Because he belonged to you.
I ought to have been here. They wouldn't have done this to him.
They'd have done it to you.
Ought to be something we can do about this.
The Lord keeps a tally. Come Judgment Day, He'll call on transgressors to settle their due.
He'll send them to hell.
Why wait on the Lord? Why don't we give him some help and do it ourselves? I've heard of the Kiowas tying a man to a wagon wheel and burning him alive. I can believe in that kind of hell.
This right here was where the door was. Me and Mr. Isaac, we built this place with our own two hands. Wasn't nobody else, just us. He'd be mighty grieved to see this.
We'll help you build it back, but we best wait a while. They'd just burn it again.
What this country needs is for Preacher Webb to do the honors at a few good funerals.
There's been too many funerals already. The wrong folks got buried. You all go on home. I've got to make a visit.
You fixing to call on Fowler Gaskin? This has got his earmarks all over it.
Fowler can wait. There's somebody else who might listen to reason. I'll give him a try.
Like most farms in the Colorado River country, Jeremiah Brackett's had suffered hard times. Some of the old rail fencing that enclosed his main field had been replaced, but long stretches threatened to collapse, supported by temporary bracing that was makeshift at best. Recovery from the war had been slow and painful, and was far from complete. Rusty's acquaintanceship with the man was limited. Brackett apparently had brought some money with him when he settled on this land several years before the war. He'd built a home larger than most in the area and had plowed a lot of grasslands into fields. Fortune's warm smile had turned cold during the war, however. Becoming an officer himself, he'd urged his sons to join the Confederate service. His wife had bitterly blamed him after two of them died in battle. The third son, Farley, had been so badly warped by the war that he rebelled against all authority. Toward the end, he had deserted the army and taken up with fugitive brushmen hiding beyond the western settlements. Now he rode precariously along the hazy-edged line that divided law and outlaw. Brackett had paid heavily for his allegiance to the Confederacy. Rusty could respect that. The same had happened to many of his friends. But some, like the Monahans, had paid an even heavier price for their opposition. The house, of rough-hewn lumber, had gone for years without fresh paint. Remnants of white still clung, emphasizing patterns of grain in the exposed and darkened wood. Like much else he knew, it bespoke a long, slow fall from prosperity. In front of the house stood a wooden carving of a boy in a jockey's uniform, holding a brass ring for tying a horse. Like the house, the carving had lost most of its original paint.
Yeah.
Rusty dismounted and tied Alamo's reins to the ring after first checking to be sure the hitching post had not rotted off at ground level.
Well, howdy, Shannon. You've come to see me?
I have. Wanted to ask you where you went last night.
Nowhere. I was at home. I'm at home just about every night. Where would you have me be?
Thought you might have gone over to pay Shanty another visit.
I rarely visit my white neighbors, much less one of so dark a hue. I suspect you were about to tell me that something has happened.
Somebody burned down his cabin.
Was he in it?
No, I'd taken him home with me. But I figured you knew that.
I had no reason to know.
Figured your son Farley would have told you.
Farley hasn't been there since the night your Indian boy fired a shotgun and got him thrown from his horse.
And he didn't shoot at him. He just wanted to be sure he had everybody's attention.
He had it, and that's a fact. The boy's a menace.
Some folks must figure Shanty to be some kind of menace, too. The way they keep trying to run him off.
We don't need his kind in this country.
I saw three of them working in your fields.
That's different. They're working for me. They have no claim on any of the land.
Where do they live?
In a cabin out by my barn.
Then they're living a whole lot closer to you than Shanty is. How come he put such a burr under your blanket?
If you were any kind of a white man, you wouldn't have to ask. Working for somebody is one thing. For a darky to own land is something else. It's like saying he's equal to the rest of us. That I cannot accept. Those people were brought here to serve. Let one become too independent and the others start thinking they should be too. Worst thing Lincoln ever did was to free those people. Everybody was a lot happier before that.
Except maybe the slaves.
They had plenty to eat and a place to sleep. Probably far better than in Africa. Now there are hundreds of them adrift without work, without a place to sleep or anything to eat, unless they steal it. Do you think freedom has made them better off?
It seemed to be working fine for Shanty. Till last night, that is.
I see I'm not going to sway your opinion, and certainly you are not going to sway mine. I know nothing about the burning of that darkey's cabin. You'll have to take my word on that.
What about your son, Farley?
I regret to say that Farley was in jail last night. Some altercation with a state policeman.
You wouldn't have any idea who did burn Shanty out.
Ideas do not stand up in court. You have to show proof.
Not always. Not in a Yankee court. It has the look of something Fowler Gaskin might do. Him and his dim-witted nephew.
Fowler Gaskin is a lazy, ignorant lout and no confidant of mine.
At least there's something we can agree on. It's a mystery to me why good men die young, while reprobates like Fowler Gaskin live on and on.
Perhaps it's because the Lord wants no part of them, and hell is already filled up with Unionists.
Those who fought for the Union side were honest in their opinions.
They were wrong! And if you sympathized with them, which seems to be the case, then you were wrong.
Looks like we've about used up our conversation. Good day, Brackett.
Hold up, Shannon.
Yeah?
I'm glad Shanty's all right. Would have been a damned shame if we'd had a murder on our hands.
I'm glad we agree on something, Brackett.
Andy Pickard sat on his moccasined heels in the shadow of his horse, his attention focused on an open spot where the grass was thin and short. Chopping weeds in the garden, Shanty had eyed him for a while. Finally, laying down his hoe, he moved through the open gate and walked out to join Andy.
Where'd you leave Mr. Len?
Me and him found that lost milk cow of Tom Blessing's. She'd had a new calf. Len took her home. I don't expect he'll come back tonight.
And Mr. Rusty?
Out looking for a couple of strayed horses.
Oh, all right then. Hold on.
What? Company coming?
I just barely saw him. My eyesight must be getting sour.
Looking like he's pushed his horse about as far as it can go.
A man don't abuse an animal that way without he's got reason.
Andy slowly saw the man's features come into focus. He judged him to be about Rusty's age, though his eyes were hard in a way that Rusty's never were. A scar cut through the whiskers on one side of his face, all the way up to the corner of an eye. Andy guessed he'd probably earned it in a fight. It was a scar a Comanche warrior would envy.
This is Shannon's place, ain't it?
Yep, but he ain't here.
Looking closer, he realized he had seen this man the night the riders had come to challenge Shanty. He remembered the scar. Rusty had said his name was Farley Brackett. Andy immediately felt a rising antagonism.
Well, I don't need Shannon no way. I just need one of his horses. Yours do?
No, not mine. I can see how you've treated yours.
I couldn't help it. I've got federal soldiers coming up behind me. And the state police.
Anyway, I've been riding mine and he's tired. He won't carry you far.
I don't see nobody back there.
They're coming, and they're hell-bent to stretch my neck.
Well, even if you was to have a fresh horse, you look mighty tuckered yourself. Best you lay low and let him go on by.
The man acted as if he'd not heard. He was probably not used to listening to black people's opinions. And he didn't like the man, but he figured anyone who had aroused the state police and the federal troops must have some redeeming qualities.
You kill somebody?
Best you all don't know what I done. Just give me a fresh horse.
I seen a blue roan down on the river a while ago. Ought to be easy caught.
That true, boy?
I don't know what Rusty would say.
It don't matter what he says. I need me a horse. Yankees will ask if you've seen me.
If we don't watch you leave, we can't tell them which way you went.
Yeah? Both of you?
Shanny and me'll both be too busy to see where you go.
All right, then. Yeah.
Maybe you shouldn't have told him about that roan. Looks to me like Rusty's lost a horse.
You know that roan ain't much account. He may not even outrun them Yankees. Mr. Rusty's been talking about swapping him off.
I see the soldiers now, just like he said. I don't know if I can lie to them.
Yeah. Ain't hard to tell a lie if you set your mind to it. From the time I was a youngin', I learned how to bow my head and make a big grin and tell folks what they wanted to hear. Had to, else somebody was apt to take a quirt to me. Anyway, any trouble Farley Brackett's in, he got in by himself. You don't owe him nothing.
I don't owe the soldiers nothing either. They might see his tracks here. Let's walk over to the corral and wait.
As he expected, the soldiers veered toward the corral, missing the garden and whatever trail the scar-faced Brackett might have left. Blue-coated troopers had always made Andy uneasy. He remembered warrior accounts of fights with them before the conflict between North and South. Since returning to Texas after the war, the soldiers seemed not to bother much about Indians, even when the Indians came raiding. They appeared more interested in complicating life for those Texans who had supported the South. Though Rusty had never borne arms against the Union, the soldiers and federal officials treated him as if he had. That added to Andy's mistrust.
Stand easy. They ain't apt to do nothing to a boy of your age, nor to a gentleman of color.
I ain't afraid of them. Me and half a dozen Comanche warriors could whip the whole damn bunch.
I don't see any warriors here.
The troopers were black, their officer white. Andy recognized from his insignia that he was a lieutenant. Two other white men were in civilian clothes. Andy assumed they were state policemen. He was almost certain he had seen them somewhere. One had a pinned-up sleeve. The officer raised his hand, signaling the soldiers to stop. He gave Shanty a quick, dismissive glance, shifting his attention to Andy.
Whose farm is this?
The superior attitude tempted Andy to tell the officer to go to hell. He deferred to better judgment.
It belongs to Rusty Shannon.
The civilian showed surprise at the name. One leaned forward in the saddle.
Shannon, you say? Him that used to be a ranger?
He was, but not anymore.
Well, I'll be damned. I had no idea what part of the country he was in.
Andy suddenly remembered when he and Rusty had made a fast departure from the Monahan farm to avoid a potentially violent showdown with two men named Oldham. This was Clyde Oldham. The man with one arm was the brother everybody called Buddy Boy. Andy's skin prickled. The lieutenant stared hard at Andy, first at his braided hair, then his moccasins.
What kind of a Hottentot do you call yourself?
My name's Andy Pickard. I ain't no Hottentot, whatever that is.
One might think at first glance that you had escaped from the reservation.
A black sergeant pushed forward.
I've heard talk in town, sir. This young man was raised by Comanches.
He does not appear to have left them far behind. Where is this Rusty Shannon?
He's out hunting for horses, sir. I expect he'll be coming along directly.
I take it that you work here, boy?
Can't get a lot of work out of an old man like me, but I live here.
Does Shannon pay you?
Well, no, sir. But you see...
Boy, don't you know slavery is forbidden anymore? You need not work for anyone unless you are paid for it.
Hey, Knight Rider's burned Shanty out of his own place. There wasn't none of you yellow legs anywhere in sight.
Young man, you are addressing an officer of the United States Army.
Careful. Soldiers been known to carry people away and some never was heard from again.
I ain't afraid of no soldiers.
I can see that you are too young to have served in the Rebel Army. But that kind of attitude got your elders into a war they could only lose.
Not my Comanche elders. They whipped you blue coats every time they met you.
You say you've heard about this lad. I take it Shannon is not his father.
The way I heard it, the boy's folks got killed by Indians. I don't expect him and Shannon is blood kin.
I see. So Shannon uses you for free labor, just like this poor darky. We'll look into that, but right now we have more pressing business. We are on the trail of a fugitive. If you'd seen him, I don't suppose you'd tell us.
Angry, Andy wanted to say he had not, but the reply seemed to swell in his throat. It would not come out.
What sort of a man you talking about?
His name is Farley Brackett. He shot a state policeman.
Well, a fella come by a while ago, riding like there was Indians after him.
Heading west?
West? Well,
He was when we seen him.
That was a half-truth. Brackett had been traveling west when he first appeared.
I see. Then we'll be on our way. And don't forget to tell Shannon we'll be back to have some words with him.
Yeah, tell Shannon that the Oldham brothers have some words for him, too. He'll remember us.
Shannon can wait. Right now, we have to try to catch Brackett.
Who are these Oldhams? What they got to do with Mr. Rusty?
Seems like they had bad trouble a long time ago. Now they know where Rusty lives.
Well, maybe we made the trouble worse, letting them soldiers go in the wrong direction.
Maybe so. I've got no reasons to like Farley Brackett. You have every right to hate his guts.
Hate just burns a hole in your belly. Like that Farley. Folks say the war turned him ornerier than a badger in a trap. He was probably cocked and primed to shoot that state policeman.
I kind of wish now I told the soldiers the truth. Lying don't set well on my stomach.
You didn't lie, exactly. You just didn't tell them all of it. Other people's quarrels are best left alone. Most of us got troubles enough of our own.
Once the soldiers were well gone, Brackett emerged from the timber by the river. He was riding the Blue Roan. As before, he spoke to Andy and paid no attention to Shanty.
I'm obliged to you for sending the soldiers on their way. And I'm obliged for the horse trade.
Don't thank us till you've rode their own a while. Just curiosity, but how come you to shoot a state policeman?
It needed doing, and I didn't see nobody else fixing to.
You'd best not tarry long. The soldiers will figure out pretty soon that they're dragging an empty sack.
If you happen to see my old daddy, tell him that snotty policeman ain't gonna be messing with him no more.
What?
He's riding south. I figured he'd go north. There wouldn't be as many people up that way to tell the soldiers where he went.
Don't matter. People south of here ain't telling the soldiers nothing neither. Especially since it was a state policeman he shot. Them old rebels lost the war, but they didn't lose none of their will.
Andy had just finished milking when Rusty came in about sundown, leading a bay horse on a rawhide rope. It was the horse Farley Brackett had been riding. Andy and Shanty met him at the corral.
Found him down by the river. You all know anything about him?
Farley Brackett came by a while ago, in a hurry to make a swap. He took that blue roan. Looks to me like you got the best end of the trade.
Not hardly. Look at the brand on his hip.
Army horse. I didn't notice that.
What was Farley doing with an army horse?
He came by here. Said he shot a state policeman.
And you lied to the soldiers?
Not exactly. Just sort of.
I'll lead that horse back down to the river and hide him to where the soldiers won't see him.
Good idea. But it's too late. They're already coming.
Andy could see the horsemen approaching.
One more thing you better know before they get here. The Oldham brothers are with them.
Damn. I was hoping they'd never find out where I live.
And now, they're state policemen.
That gives them authority to do just about anything they want to.
Horses and men looked whipped down and subdued. Questions were unnecessary. Andy wondered how far west they had ridden before they accepted the fact that Brackett had given them the slip. He understood why Federal soldiers had managed so little success in trailing Indians. Anyone with watchful eyes could have seen the fugitives' tracks leading down toward the river, then turning about and heading south. The army sometimes employed friendly Indians such as the Tonkawas to do its trailing, but there'd been no Indian with the lieutenant's detail. Rusty raised one hand in a civil but less than enthusiastic greeting. The lieutenant's gaze fastened immediately upon the bay horse.
I found him down on the river. Looks like the man you were after left him and took one of mine.
How could he do that without somebody seeing him?
By swapping in the timber, out of sight from up here.
That Indian boy and darky claimed the fugitive rode by here and went west.
That ain't exactly what we said. He was riding west when we first seen him. We didn't say which way he went after that.
We didn't find any tracks to the west.
Like as not, your man doubled back. Even a coyote's smart enough to do that.
Clyde Oldham fixed a hard gaze on Rusty. His brother beside him, he pushed up abreast of the officer.
Sounds thin to me, Lieutenant. Remember, Shannon was a ranger under the rebels. I'm betting he helped Brackett get away and put that boy and that nigger up to lying for him.
Mr. Rusty didn't do no such thing. He wasn't even here.
The lieutenant showed no inclination toward believing. He jerked his head at the black sergeant.
Ride down toward the river and see if you find any tracks.
Andy watched nervously as the soldier walked his horse along, looking at the ground. If the sergeant had good eyes, Andy thought, he was likely to pick up Brackett's trail. Surely enough, the trooper paused a minute, riding back and forth, then proceeded to the river. In a little while, he returned and saluted the lieutenant.
Tracks as clear as day, sir. They go from here straight down to the river. By the looks of it, he changed horses and rode back up this way. Never went west at all.
This is the horse that Brackett stole off the street after he shot the policeman. What do you say now, Shannon?
Looks like I've lost a horse.
You're fixing to lose a lot more than a damned horse, Shannon.
I had intended to come back and talk to you about other matters, such as not paying that darkie for his labor, or this young man either. But now we have a more serious violation to consider. Mr. Oldham, inasmuch as this affair began with the shooting of one of your fellow policemen, the army defers to the state. You may make the arrest.
Much obliged. Rusty Shannon, I arrest you as an accessory after the fact.
Lieutenant, this man and his brother have an old grudge against me.
Damn right we do. He's a Confederate ranger that crippled Buddy. Now get your hands up, Shannon.
I don't have a gun on me.
Oh, just the same. Raise them hands. Hi.
Rusty wasn't even here when that fellow came by.
Young man, if you interfere any farther, your youth will not be taken into account. I can have you sent away to a correctional institution where they will work the wild Indian out of you. Or beat it out of you.
The boy's right. Wasn't none of Mr. Rusty's doing.
You, put Shannon's saddle on that bay horse. Mr. Oldham and his brother will take him to town while the rest of us pursue our fugitive.
Rusty!
We don't have a choice, Shanty.
The lieutenant led his soldiers out toward the place where the sergeant had found the tracks leading southward. It would soon be dark, so they would not be able to follow the trail for long.
Good. Now, mount up, Shannon. We got a ways to ride.
Andy, you and Shanty take care of things while I'm gone.
You're liable to be gone a long time. You may never come back.
Ain't nothing to keep them Oldhams from shooting Mr. Rusty in the back. They can claim he tried to get away in the dark.
Andy's belly went tight. He felt that it would be his fault if something happened to Rusty.
Let's catch up and go along. Maybe they won't do him no harm if we're there to witness.
By the time they saddled their horses and started, it was dark. They had set off in the direction the Oldhams had taken.
Andy, not so fast. I can barely see my own hand in front of my face.
Just follow the sound of my horse. We've got to catch up to them. They've already done it. Yeah!
Shannon! Where the hell do you go?
Shannon! God damn you!
It's the Oldhams.
Andy, what?
Shh. The Oldhams are around.
Shannon! Damn it!
Buddy boy, you go that way, I'll go this way. He can't have gotten far.
If he ain't dead already, we'll be soon.
They lost him.
Them Oldhams ain't gonna let him live. We got to find him first.
Quiet. Let's dismount. Leave the horses here.
It's so dark. We could go right past him and not know it.
But we can't wait for the moon to rise. He could bleed to death by then.
They started walking in small circles, Andy tuning his senses to track without sight. He smelled the cool night air, heard the nearby river. Though he could barely see, he knew that the Oldhams were no better off.
You hear something?
I smell a horse nearby. This way. There. That way. Rusty. Rusty, can you hear me?
Andy! Over there!
Andy saw a dark shape on the ground.
If you're dead...
He's still breathing.
Oh.
Mr. Rusty? It's me and Andy.
Oh. Rusty. Shanty, his arm's sticky with blood. Took a bullet in his shoulder. From the back, I guess. I'll use my neckerchief to put pressure on it.
Let's turn him over real easy. See if the bullet came out the front. Pass right through. That's not bad, right?
Nothing good about him getting shot, though. Rusty, we have to move you away from here. Think you can ride?
We gotta get him out of here. The Oldhams will loop back soon. I'll get his horse.
But we can't go back to the house. We'll ride to Tom Blessing's. He'll know what to do. Rusty, can you hear me?
I hear.
We'll take you home and get the wagon. Then we'll haul you to Tom Blessing's. Think you can ride if we hold on to you?
Yeah, I'll try.
I got the horse. Let's bring him up and get back quick. Let's go.
They rode back to Rusty's place as quickly as his wound would allow.
Shanty, get the wagon. I'll work to bind the wounds. Damn it all, Rusty. It's my fault. I ought to have let them have Farley Brackett. Better him than you. Hang on. Hang on tight. Don't you be going off and leaving with me owing you so much.
Rusty did not respond. Andy decided it was better that he remain unconscious. Perhaps the trip would not hurt him so badly. Shanty came toward Rusty and Andy with the wagon.
You take his feet. On three. Ready?
Ready.
One, two, three! You drive. I'll stay here with Rusty.
The wagon won't be no trouble for the Oldhams to follow.
We'll use the town road as far as we can. I doubt they can tell one wagon track from another.
Past midnight, they saw Blessing's cabin ahead.
We're there, Rusty. We've made it.
A man emerged from beneath a shed. Andy recognized the lanky form of Len Tanner.
Len! Come a-runnin'!
Barefoot and in his long underwear, Tanner came at a trot.
What's the trouble?
Rusty's been shot. Go rouse Tom Blessing, would you?
Who done this to him?
Clyde and Buddy Oldham. Go, would you?
Oldham? I'll slow down. I'll get them.
Get Tom Blessing first.
Hold on!
Soon, Blessing came out of the bedroom side of the double cabin, buttoning his breeches, bringing his suspenders up over his shoulders. He was barefoot and without a shirt. Tanner trotted alongside him, looking thin enough for a strong wind to blow him away. Blessing peered into the bed of the wagon.
How bad is it?
He's still breathing. Don't know how long for, though.
I'll take him.
Blessing carried Rusty in and set him down into the bed he and Mrs. Blessing had just vacated. His wife had already set some water on to boil in the fireplace. Blessing cautiously unwrapped the binding and examined the wounds.
The bullet went plumb through. He lost a right smart of blood before we could stop it.
It was God's mercy he didn't bleed to death.
What happened?
He's coming awake. Rusty! Rusty, are you awake?
Andy.
I'm here, Rusty.
Rusty? It's me, Tom Blessing. You've been shot, but you're safe now. I'm gonna try to fix up your wound, but it's gonna hurt a bit. Andy, pass me that bottle of whiskey right there.
Damn.
Here you are.
This is gonna sting, but don't go passing out again.
I'll try not.
In between pours of whiskey, Mrs. Blessing washed the wounds with water as hot as her hands could stand it. After the first application, Rusty just bared his teeth and took it.
I wish Preacher Webb was here. He can heal the body as well as the soul.
If he was here, he'd wonder how come we keep whiskey in the house.
Well, I doubt the Lord minds folks taking a little nip, long as it's in a healing way.
All right. How'd this happen?
Farley Brackett come running with a U.S. Army horse. Said he'd shot an officer. When the troopers came our way, Clyde and Buddy Oldham were with them. I sent them the wrong way. They came back just when Rusty'd found the horse, and the Oldhams got him arrested for it. After that...
They took me with them. I had a notion what they were gonna do. When I heard the hammer click, I set the horse to running. I reckon the first flash blinded them. They couldn't see where I went.
When they can't find you, they'll start figuring all the places we might have took you. How long before they come here?
Not long. Some damn fool is bound to tell him me and Rusty been friends since the Battle of Plum Creek.
Where can we take him?
The Monahan place.
That's a good idea. Back when we was Rangers, Rusty caught a Comanche arrow in his leg. The Monahans took care of him till he was on his feet. They'd do it again.
The Oldhams might guess where he went.
It'd be their own fault if they did. Was Clyde and Buddy Boy to go up there, they might not come back. Them Monahans get real serious when they're provoked.
Rusty would have the benefit of Preacher Webb's doctrine.
It's a long ways. It'll take several days in a wagon.
I can make it.
Sure you can. Damned if we'll let the likes of Clyde and Buddy Boy do you in. We'll go first thing in the morning.
Rusty reached up to touch Andy's arm.
Len knows the way. He can take me. I wish you and Shanty would stay and watch out for the place.
Whatever you want, Rusty.
Fowler Gaskin will carry off everything but the dirt if somebody's not there.
Andy's disappointment was quickly overcome by the realization that he was being trusted with a heavy responsibility.
We'll take care of things, me and Shanty. Right, Shanty?
That's right, Andy.
The next morning, Tanner and Blessing got Rusty safely situated in the wagon bed. Rusty looked with concern at Andy and Shanty.
The Oldhams may talk pretty rough. Shanty, you'll see that Andy keeps a cork on his temper, won't you?
We'll do just fine, Mr. Rusty. Don't you worry yourself about us.
I'm sorry, Rusty. I'd give anything not to have brought this trouble on you.
Oh, don't be feeling guilty. With the Oldhams, if it hadn't been this, it would have been something else. You just step careful and don't fall into any trouble, okay?
Andy watched the wagon move away in the first pale light of morning, Len's horse tied on behind. He didn't want anybody to see him choke up, so he took a broom from the dog run and began to brush out the tracks.
Andy, you aim to sweep all the way to the Monahans?
I can brush out the trail for a little ways at least. I don't want anything to be easy for the Oldhams.
Blessing pointed to clouds building in the east. They would hide the sunrise. Andy saw a few faint flashes of lightning, so far away that he didn't hear the thunder.
Looks like we may get some rain after a while. If we do, it should take care of the tracks. You all like a little more coffee before you start home?
No, thanks. We need to hurry and get there before the Oldhams do. Me and Andy got to figure out a lie to tell him.
It was a lie that started all this.
They had not been home long before Clyde and Buddy Oldham appeared with several men on horseback. Andy recognized none of them except Fowler Gaskin and his nephew, Euclid Somerville. Fowler had long and loudly proclaimed his allegiance to the Confederacy, though he had been quick to take the oath of loyalty to the Union once it was clear the rebel cause was lost and there might be advantages to reconciliation. Now he rode beside the state police, symbol of the occupation. It stood to reason that he would join the search for Rusty, given the long enmity between them. Only the Oldhams wore badges, but the others all wore a gravely officious look that told Andy they had a high regard for their authority. Clyde leaned forward in the saddle, his face as stormy as the clouds that rose behind him.
All right, where's he at?
Where's who?
You know damn well who I mean. Rusty Shannon.
You arrested him last night.
No, damn it! He got away, but not before Buddy hit him. He couldn't have gotten far without help.
We ain't seen him.
Oh, no? Well, I figure you're hiding him. We're gonna look around.
Andy shifted his gaze to Gaskin.
Just don't carry away anything that don't belong to you.
Search the place, men. Don't overlook nothing.
Some went into the cabin. Andy was glad he had thought to burn the bloody pieces of cloth that would have been a giveaway. Others went to the barn and shed. Gaskin and Somerville headed straight to the smokehouse. Gaskin came out carrying a ham.
Just because you're running with the Scalawag State Police don't mean you got a right to steal.
Keep it, Gaskin! When we get through with Shannon, he ain't gonna care about one little old ham. He ain't gonna care about nothing.
Emboldened, Somerville went into the smokehouse and fetched another. Shortly, the men gathered in front of the cabin, empty-handed except for Gaskin's hams. Clyde's temper had not cooled.
Seems to me like I saw a wagon under that shed yesterday. I don't see it there now.
You don't? There's thieves everywhere.
Hey! I see fresh wagon tracks leading off yonder way.
I wounded him. He couldn't have rode far on his horse. One of you, maybe both of you hauled him someplace. You tell us where you took him.
Neither Andy nor Shanty spoke. Buddy lifted a quirt from his saddle horn.
You! Where is he? What about you, little Indian boy?
Hit him again! And that Negro, too!
Headquarters ain't gonna take it kindly, you quartin' a darky. You'll have the Freedmen's Bureau down on us.
Ah, mind your own business. I'm trying to make them talk.
They ain't going to. Look at the fire in that kid's eyes. Right now, he's pure D. Comanche. He'd cut your gizzard out and feed it to you.
Oh, he's right. Back off, buddy.
Oldham, looks to me like we ought to be hunting Farley Brackett instead of wasting so much time on Shannon. The worst he did was let Brackett have a horse to get away on.
He didn't even do that, and Oldham knows it. He's trying to get even for something that happened back in the war.
Buddy raised his quirt as if to strike Andy again.
Hey! Now, it's been enough whipping done. We're fixing to get caught in a frog-strangling rain. I'm for going back to town.
The others seemed to agree. Clyde trembled with rage.
Y'all quitting on us? Well, then me and Buddy will keep looking by ourselves.
If you keep on looking, it's gonna be by yourselves.
All turned and started riding away, except Fowler Gaskin and his nephew.
Between Rusty Shannon and the Comanches, they plumb ruined that boy. You ought to take that quirt and make a Christian out of him.
You're a great one for using a whip on people, and burning cabins, too.
We ought to burn this one. Teach them all a lesson.
I'll do it, Uncle Fowler.
Oh, forget it. I got plans for this place. I need that house.
The four were so intent on Andy that they didn't notice Shanty ease into the cabin. He came out with a rifle and a look of determination.
You all are about done here, ain't you?
Aim that thing somewhere's else, damn fool nigger. You're liable to touch it off and kill somebody.
Sure might.
Shanty swung the muzzle toward Clyde and Buddy. Fear leaped into Clyde's eyes before he could check it.
We ain't gonna get nothing out of these two. Let's see if we can follow them wagon tracks.
Andy and Shanty stood in the dog run beneath the roof. Wind carried a cool spray into their faces. It eased the burning where Buddy's quirt had stung Andy's cheek. Shanty looked closely at Andy's face.
That quirt marked you pretty good.
It'll pass.
With this rain, they ain't going to follow no tracks for long.
Maybe they'll all drown.
After the rain, Andy set to chopping wood and keeping an eye on movement near the river.
That feller hiding down by the river is getting careless. I've seen him twice. Maybe I ought to go and invite him up for supper.
That'd just make the Oldhams madder than they already are. They don't think we know anybody's down there.
They're liable to take root and grow if they're waiting for Rusty to show up.
Andy returned to his woodcutting. It struck him that in a Comanche camp, gathering wood was woman's work. But there was no woman here. He had seen little sign that Rusty was looking for one. He remembered that the Monahan daughter named Josie had taken a shine to him. Maybe now she would have time and opportunity to work on him while he was hurt and helpless. He had not gotten a good look at Jeremiah Brackett the night a group of raiders visited Shanty's place, so he didn't recognize him when the man came riding up on a long-legged sorrel horse. A wagon followed, and he was intrigued to see that a girl was driving it. At least they were not state police. He walked out to meet them. Shanty remained beneath the dog run, mending a harness. He judged the horseman to be well into his late 50s, maybe even his 60s, roughly the same as Tom Blessing. Except for a stiff military bearing, he had the look of a hard-working farmer, not a man from town.
Howdy.
I'm Jeremiah Brackett. Judging by the braids in your hair, you'd be the young man my son told me about.
Andy Pickard. I suppose your son is Farley Brackett?
He is. It seems the Brackett family owes you all a horse. We always pay our debts. I brought this one in exchange for the one Farley took from you.
Andy walked around the sorrel, giving it a close inspection.
He's a sight better looking than the roan your son took. You're getting the short end of the trade.
Farley said that horse almost got him caught by the state police. He would have shot him, but that would have left him a foot.
Andy noticed the girl who arrived with Jeremiah was about his own age.
This young lady is my daughter, Bethel.
Andy stared at the girl, trying to remember the rules of behavior Rusty and Shanty had lectured him about. He removed his hat.
Damn pleased to meet you, ma'am.
His face warmed. He knew he'd made a mess of it. He had not seen a lot of girls to compare her by. He thought she might be the prettiest he had ever looked upon, though his notion of what constituted pretty tended to change with each new one he saw. He tried to remember if he might have encountered her in town. It seemed to him that if he had, he wouldn't have forgotten.
Your name would be Andy, I suppose. I've heard about you.
He wondered what she had heard. Probably not good if she had heard it in town.
Don't believe them. There's an awful lot of liars in this country.
Aw, it wasn't all bad. We appreciate what you did for my brother.
Shanty came out from the dog run. Andy nodded in his direction.
It was Shanty's doing as much as mine.
Oh, I'll pay him for it. I don't want to stay beholden to a darkie. Yeah, this should be good. Here you go, boy. It's yours.
Bethel gave her father a quick look of disapproval, then turned away.
What's this for?
For your part in helping my son escape. It should buy you a pint of whiskey.
I ain't a whiskey drinker, sir.
Well, then some tobacco or whatever you like. It's Yankee. Anybody in town will accept it.
Thank you, but
keep it. We're even now.
We've got some coffee inside, or some fresh buttermilk I just churned last night.
He immediately wished he'd not admitted that. Churning was something else that would have been woman's work in a Comanche camp, except that the Comanches didn't have milk and butter.
Thank you, but we should be getting back. There's always more work to do than time to do it.
The girl gave Andy a thin smile as her father turned the team around.
Come and see us.
I'd like to.
Andy watched them leave, trying to think of a reason to visit.
A silver coin? Hey, I didn't see him give you nothing.
He didn't.
Then how'd he come to pay me?
Andy knew. Brackett would feel compromised if he owed a debt to a black man. Unable to think of any painless way to explain it, Andy decided to let Shanty figure it out for himself. He did, and quickly. Shanty drew back and sailed the coin as far as he could throw it. The Oldham State Police gave up any pretense of secrecy in their watching post by the river, but they did not give up the stakeout. By the time Brackett and his daughter pulled away from the cabin, a rider was already trotting his horse up to overtake them. He circled the cabin and stopped the pair. After questioning them for a few minutes, he let them proceed and came back to where Andy and Shanty stood watching. This was a deputy, not an Oldham. He looked disappointed.
Thought that might be Shannon.
You'll have to get up mighty early in the morning to catch Rusty. But keep on trying.
Yeah, just following orders. Clyde says do it, we do it. Tell you the truth, I'm getting almighty tired of camping down there by the river.
Come on up here, why don't you? Or you can watch us a lot closer. Spread your blankets out in the dog run. Even eat with us if you'll bring the grub.
Ah, Clyde and Buddy would raise hell. Can't get friendly with the enemy, they'd say.
Don't it hurt your conscience, working for the state police? taking orders from people like the Oldhams?
It's a living. All our officers ain't like them. Most of them are honest men just trying to do a dirty job the cleanest way they can.
Like hounding Rusty, when you know he didn't do anything wrong?
Now that's Clyde's doing. He's got the authority, and he's friends with a judge who goes along with whatever he wants to do. They've squeezed the old rebels around here for all they could get out of them. Stole some farms and stuck most of the money in their pockets, except for what they sent to Austin to keep the higher authorities happy.
You could quit.
I got a family to feed. I grit my teeth, and I look the other way.
This Reconstruction government won't last forever. What'll you do when it's gone?
I've been thinking about California. Maybe there's still some gold left out there. Ain't none in Texas. But till I can save enough to make the trip, I'll bide my time, do what Clyde tells me, and hope I don't have to help him starve any widders and orphans.
I hope so, too. That was a good thing you did, stopping him from whipping Shanty last night.
I stopped him from hitting you, too.
I see that more like you doing a favor for Clyde.
You know, I oughtn't be telling you all this, but I think you deserve to know. Clyde's fixing to steal this place from Shannon the same way he stole them others.
Well, how could he do that?
Rig the tax books, say that Shannon ain't paid all his assessments. It's worked for him before, him and his judge. You all would just as well pack up whatever you want to take with you. There ain't no stopping him. Well, we'll see you around.
In a moment of anger, Andy thought there was one way to stop Oldham. He considered whether he should shoot him in the head, in the chest, or in the belly. Any of the three would do the job, but he knew it was a futile notion. Preacher Webb had often spoken about the wages of sin.
Yonder goes a man who hates the sin, but he's willing enough to take its wages.
Andy was almost finished with his chores when he recognized the blue roan horse approaching from the direction of the Brackett farm. It was too far to identify the rider.
Company coming!
Shanty arose from his wooden chair on the dog run, rifle in hand.
Who's it look like?
A little far, for now. Hope it isn't Mr. Brackett bringing back the roan.
Oh, he gonna take back Long Red? I kind of like the guy.
Long Red?
Yeah, seemed like a good name.
I like it. You know, that's not Old Man Brackett after all. It's his son, Farley. They look a right smart alike.
Him that caused all this trouble.
Shanty made no secret of his disliking for the man. He handed Andy the rifle.
Mighty reckless showing himself when the police are hunting all over for him.
Maybe he's coming to thank us for that roan horse.
He never looked like a man spilling over with thankfulness.
Brackett reined up a little short of the cabin and studied the rifle with misgivings. The eye at the upper end of the facial scar was squinted almost shut.
Ain't no need for that.
I hope not. But I'd use it if you was to give me cause.
Whoa now! You and that Negro played a mean trick on me, putting me on this roan. He ain't worth 6 bits in Yankee silver.
You didn't do us no favor either, leaving us with a horse that had a U.S. brand on it. That's caused us no end of hell.
So I've heard. I'm sorry for what happened to Shannon.
Being sorry don't take Clyde Oldham off his back. Or ours.
Ain't nothing I can do about it.
You could surrender to the state police. You could tell them how it really was. Then Rusty could come home.
I'd just as well put a gun in my ear and pull the trigger as to give myself up to that bunch.
Then what'd you come here for?
Just wanted to say I appreciate you putting the soldiers off my trail.
I'm wishing now we hadn't done it.
Brackett leaned down to look closer at Andy.
That's quite a mark on your face.
Quirt. Buddy Oldham did it.
Like to take a bullwhip and write my name across his back with it. Him and all the others.
You've got trouble enough shooting a state policeman.
He lived. Guess I'll have to try again.
Andy felt relieved. At least Rusty could not be charged as an accessory to murder.
After you do, run some other direction, would you? Don't come by here.
If there's anything you need, go talk to my old daddy. If he's got it, you can have it.
He brought us a horse. We don't need nothing else from him. But you might need a little advice from us.
What's that?
Don't go down by the river. Clyde Oldham and one of his deputies are there, watching to see if Rusty comes back.
The hell you say? I don't see anybody.
We're not supposed to either, but they get careless now and again.
You want me to go down there and shoot them?
Seems like you'd get tired of shooting policemen.
I ain't yet. But I guess this time I'll be moving on.
Brackett set the roan into a trot and disappeared around the cabin. Relieved at his departure, Andy relaxed. Shanty wiped a sleeve across his face. Andy's relief quickly faded as he saw Clyde Oldham and a deputy riding up from the river.
Preacher Webb says trouble likes to travel in pairs.
He cradled the rifle in his arms.
That wasn't Rusty Shannon, was it?
The shape you left Rusty in? He couldn't ride like that.
Well, then who was it?
Didn't mention his name.
If it's somebody carrying messages to Shannon, what the...
No, I ain't Shannon.
Andy tried not to betray his surprise as Farley rode from behind the cabin, his pistol aimed at Oldham's heart.
Brackett? Oh, where? How did...
Brackett reached forward and took Oldham's pistol from its holster, then the deputy's.
Don't worry. I ain't made plans to kill anybody today unless I'm provoked. For what it's worth, the time I stopped by this place and took a fresh horse, Shannon wasn't even here. Besides, what I did wasn't much.
You shot a state policeman?
He oughtn't have messed with me and my folks. But I didn't kill him.
You tried?
Yes, I did. Some days I can't shoot worth a damn. Anyway, you've got nothing to blame Shannon for. I stole his horse, same as I'm fixing to steal yours. You heard what I just said, deputy. You can bear witness to it.
Yeah, I heard, Farley.
Don't forget it, or I'm liable to come looking for you on one of the days when my shooting eye is sharp.
He nodded toward the roan.
Now, deputy, I wish you'd take that saddle off this horse and put it on Oldham's.
Why? You'd leave me afoot?
You have the roan. I warn you, though, he ain't much of a horse.
The deputy switched saddles. Brackett looked Oldham's brown horse over and nodded approval.
Too good for a state policeman. The roan is more your caliber.
I will get you someday, Brackett.
Be damn careful that I don't get you.
You want to stay for supper, Oldham? We'll be serving crow.
Shandy frowned at him.
Don't make any difference what Farley Brackett says. I'm still gonna get Shannon.
But you heard him say Rusty wasn't here to give him that roan horse. He just took it.
Oldham acted as if he didn't hear. 4 weeks had passed without a word from or about Rusty. Andy was uneasy, but he knew it wouldn't do for Rusty or the Monahans to write a letter. Any mail would almost certainly be opened and read by the Oldhams or the federally appointed postmaster. Andy was on his way back with logs for the fire when he spotted Shanty at the cabin. He was loading something into one of two wagons that stood nearby. Two men were leading harnessed teams up from the river, where they had evidently been taken to drink. Andy sped up. One of the men was tall Tom Blessing. The other, who looked much like him but was younger, Andy recognized as a son. Blessing saw Andy coming, but continued leading his team to the front wagon.
Howdy, Tom. What brings you all over here?
Bad news. Clyde and Buddy Oldham are fixing to take over this farm and everything on it.
How can they do that?
I heard about it in town. Clyde claims the records show that Rusty is way behind on his taxes.
Rusty's paid all the taxes they asked for. It took just about everything he got for sending cattle north.
Tax records are easy to alter if he got the keys to the courthouse. My son and I hoped we'd beat the Oldhams out here and haul off everything Rusty might want to keep.
Shandy came out with an armful of blankets. Blessing's son had Rusty's plow in his wagon, along with all the harness and tools from the shed.
Pity we can't take cabin and all.
What about the field? The crops are half grown already.
Pity, but I reckon the Oldhams will get the benefit of all that. You want to help me empty the smokehouse? No need in leaving the meat to them.
Ain't there something we can do?
I don't know what. Clyde has got the scalawag government on his side.
We could shoot him.
That's the Comanche in you talking. Killing ain't the way the Lord meant for folks to doctor what ails them.
Once it's done, it's damn sure permanent.
So is a hanging rope, and that's what you'd get. Them Oldham brothers are like a pair of hungry wolves.
No, they're just coyotes.
But anyway, it ain't for me and you to decide. Best let Mr. Rusty know what's happened and see what he wants.
They soon had the two wagons loaded with about everything not too heavy to lift or too bulky to carry.
It's up to me to go tell Rusty about this. He ain't going to take it kindly.
All right. Kindly or not, he'll have to take it for now. Maybe someday when things change, he'll find a way to get the farm back. At least there's this much the Oldhams won't get.
Andy gazed in the direction of the plot where Rusty's Daddy Mike and Mother Dora lay.
He won't even own the ground where his folks are buried.
I can imagine what old Mike would say. He was a fire eater, that one. But it finally got him killed.
What about me? Where will I go?
With me, Shanny. You can stay at my place till things straighten out.
Andy? You gonna go tell Mr. Rusty?
He's got to know.
Like it's not them Oldhams will figure on that. They'll follow you. They won't be satisfied till they've killed him dead.
I'll wait till night, and I'll ride in the edge of the river a ways so they'll have hell finding my tracks.
He reached up to shake Shanty's hand, then Blessing's.
I don't know when I'll be coming back. Well, that'll depend on what Rusty wants to do.
Tell him we'll be back and gather up all his livestock we can find. We'll drift them west to some empty country I know of. I doubt the Oldhams will find them anytime soon. Come on, Shanny. Let's go.
Andy stood hunched in sadness, watching the wagons roll away. For 6 years, this place had been home to him, at least the only home he had. He felt the same emptiness as when he had turned his back on the Comancheria. There were times when he wondered if dark spirits dogged his steps and did not mean for him to have a home. The cabin appeared almost empty, bereft of most of its handmade furniture except for the beds, too cumbersome for the wagons. The cookingware, the cups and plates were gone. The smokehouse was empty except for a large slab of bacon Andy had saved for his trip north. He'd kept back salt, coffee, and a small sack of flour so he could make bread on the trail. These he carried out to the corral and placed in a wooden trough near his saddle. He planned to ride the Bracket Sorrel, Long Red, and use Alamo as a pack horse. For no amount of money would he leave Rusty's favorite mount to be taken by the Oldhams. Clyde and Buddy Oldham arrived a while before sundown, accompanied by a sour-faced deputy.
I got eviction papers for Rusty Shannon. Since I know you ain't here, I'm serving them on you. These papers tell you to vacate.
What is vacate?
He means get the hell off. And the quicker the better.
Buddy lifted the quirt from the horn of his saddle and raised it.
Easy, Buddy boy. He still got a mark from when you done that before, and it didn't do no good. He may be half Indian, but I expect he understands English when it's spoke good and plain. Put your stuff together, boy. You're leaving here.
Where do you expect me to go?
Back to the Comanches for all we care. It's probably where you belong.
You've got no right to this place. It's Rusty's, and it belonged to his folks before that. What if I don't want to leave?
Then I'll just turn Buddy loose with that quirt. He only got one arm, but you know it's a strong one.
While the deputy waited with Andy, Clyde and his brother walked up to the cabin. They paused a moment at the dog run to look at the empty iron hooks on which fresh meat often hung, wrapped in canvas. They then went into the kitchen. Clyde was out again in a moment, crossing quickly over to the bedroom side. He stayed there but little longer before striding down from the dog run and marching angrily toward Andy.
What the hell has happened here? Where's everything gone?
I've been away most of the day. Maybe some of your men snuck in and stole it all.
What? Everything in this place belongs to me. These papers say so.
You just now served them. Till you did that, I reckon everything still belonged to Rusty.
Andy knew little about legalities, but that seemed logical enough.
Somebody tipped this Indian off. Wherever it was, needs a good stomping.
Save the stomping for Rusty Shannon when we find him.
Stomp on him a while and and then shoot him.
Nah, what was in the house wasn't worth much anyway. They couldn't carry off that plowed ground out yonder. That's ours. We'll be back first thing in the morning, kid. You better not be here. Come on, Buddy, we're heading to town.
Andy watched them so long as they were in sight. Though they left by the town road, he had a strong hunch they would circle back and keep a lookout on him. Clyde was surely shrewd enough to guess that Andy would go immediately to notify Rusty what had happened. All he and his brother had to do was follow. In the dark of the moon, he packed blankets and food on Alamo and saddled Long Red. He had built up a big fire, hoping the watchers would think he was still in the cabin. For a while, he had entertained the notion of burning the cabin so the Oldhams couldn't have it. He gave that up as a bad idea. The cabin was Rusty's main tie to the memory of Mike and Dora Shannon. He would not want it destroyed, even to keep it from the hands of his enemies. Besides, Andy held out hope that Rusty would eventually find a way to get the farm back. He would appreciate having the cabin remain intact.
Oh. Come on, Red, Alamo, we're going north.
There was no clearly marked trail at first, but Andy didn't need one. He had confidence in his sense of direction and his memory for landmarks. As he had told Shanty, he rode a couple of miles in the edge of the river, then found a gravelly bank on which he could quit the water without leaving obvious tracks. He traveled until he figured it was past midnight, then halted for a dry camp. He had eaten his supper in the cabin. He hoped the Oldhams had not noted his departure. Even if they guessed his direction and started at daylight, he should be several hours ahead of them.